This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Psalms 19 verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Let us pray. God, anoint these lips of clay. But more than anything, I pray, whether a person's watching online or they're in one of our campuses, if there's a person who doesn't know you as personal Savior, today be the day. You said today is the day of salvation. May today be the day that they would come to know you. And I pray this prayer with a grateful heart, for I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about what is God like? What is God really like? A little girl was named Sally was drawing a picture one day, and the teacher said, "Sally, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "Sally, but you don't understand. Nobody knows what God looks like." And Sally said, "They will when I get finished. They will when I get finished." Well, now, what is God like? Well, I'm convinced there's two things that reveal God to us. First of all, the world reveals God to us. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." As I said, God created the world. The rocks, the rills, the hoes, the hills, the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees. God created it all. So the world, ladies and gentlemen, reveals to us who God is. You said, "No, wait, Pastor. We live here in the Bible Belt, and we get to hear the gospel over and over. What about that person who's in a remote, desolate island, who doesn't get to hear it over and over and over? What about them, Pastor? What about those people? Don't they have an excuse when they stand before God? Won't they have an excuse and say, 'God, I've got an excuse of why I didn't come to know you'?" Well, look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead. So they are without excuse." Ladies and gentlemen, this world reveals to us that there is a God. This world reveals to us that there is a God. But not only does God reveal himself to us through this world, you can look around all around you and you can see God. But not only does he reveal himself through this world, but he reveals himself through his word. His word. You said, "Pastor, what's God like? What is God really like?" Well, the Bible says this in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." You say, "Well, God's invisible." That's right. But what is he like? You just look at Jesus. If you say, I want to know what God's like, just look at Jesus. I want to know how God will respond. Just look at Jesus, because you've got to understand, Jesus was God in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now let me make four quick statements, and then I'll give you some points and we'll be done. The first statement I want you to understand is this: God is a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4 and 24 says God is a spirit. What do you mean, Pastor, God is a spirit? That is to say, God can't be limited by a body like you and I are limited by a body. Our body, because of this body, I have limitations. I'm here on the platform today, but that's the only place I can be right now because I am limited by this body. But I want you to know, God is not limited. God is not limited. I want you to know, God's not only a spirit, but God is a person. You said, "Preacher, you mean he's a human like I'm a human?" No. But God does have a personality. That is, God feels. God hears. God thinks. God hurts. God forgives. Because God is not only a spirit, but God is a person. Now, not only is God a spirit, not only is God a person, but I want you to understand something. God is holy. God is holy. God's a holy God, and we are unholy. We were born with a sin nature. You don't have to teach your children how to sin. It will come natural from their mother. I'm kidding. You don't have to teach. It comes natural. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's a holy God, but we're unholy. A preacher calls a little boy. And he says, son, I gave you $150 for that lawnmower, but that lawnmower won't start. And he said, oh, preacher, you got to cuss it. He said, cuss it. I'm a man of the cloth. I haven't used that language in 40 years. He said, well, preacher, just go out there and pull on it several times and it will come back to you. Now, certainly I'm not advocating profanity, but what I am trying to say is this, folks. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God is a holy God. And we were separated from God because we're sinful humanity. God's a person. God's holy. God's a spirit. But let me tell you something else. God is love. God is love. 1 John 4 and 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Somebody said, I'm so glad that God does love. No, you've missed it. God doesn't just do love. God is love. See, God has no choice but to love. That is who he is. Now get this. Because God is a holy God, his holiness demanded there had to be punishment for our sins. He's a holy God. There had to be payment for our sins. But you got to understand, God's holiness demanded payment for our sins. But God's love provided a sacrifice for our sins when Jesus Christ went to the cross. See, folks, your sins will either be pardoned in Christ or punished in hell, but there must be payment for our sins. And Jesus paid that. Now, here's what I want to say. Pastor Benny, when we think of God, what do we think about? What are the images that you believe come to our minds when we think of God? I think the first image many times that comes to people's mind when they think of God is they think of a fence. And what I mean by a fence, you've got a fence here, and we as sinners are on one side of the fence. And God is on the other side of the fence. And we can't get to God because there's a fence between us. And he's a holy God. So we can't reach him. I'm sinful. He's holy. When I think of God, I see a fence. And Pastor, there's no way I can get to God. In the beginning, God created a man. His name was Adam. And God looked Adam over from head to toe. I really believe this. I believe God looked him over from head to toe and said, I can do better, and he created Eve. And all the women said,
amen.
All right. Trying to get back on their side. But anyway, you know the story. God said to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:3, he said to them this verse in Genesis 3:3. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. There was a tree there, and God said, now, don't you eat of this tree, because when you eat of this tree, you're going to die. And you know the story. Adam and Eve ate of the tree. They literally ate us out of house and home. They ate of the tree. And look, they didn't immediately die. Physical death. God wasn't just talking about physical death. He was talking about spiritual death. And he said, when you eat of that tree, there's going to be a fence. And that fence will separate you and God. Now, you know what they did, folks? They took fig leaves. Get this. After they sinned, they felt guilty. After they sinned, they felt guilty. Somebody said, Pastor, you don't understand. I feel uncomfortable right now. I mean, I feel like I'm a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. I really feel uncomfortable being here right now. Well, let me tell you something. That has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with God. Listen, somebody said, oh, Brother Benny, you got on my toes. Do you think if I was aiming for a body part, I'd go for your toes? No, that's God. They tried fig leaves. They tried to take care of their guilt with fig leaves, but that just didn't work. And folks, we try to take care of our guilt with all kinds of things. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn to sex. Some people turn to status. We try to feel this emptiness. And the Bible says God's put eternity in your hearts. And all those things that we're trying to fill it with will never, ever satisfy. Because God is the one who put eternity in your heart. And God is the only one who can satisfy that emptiness in your heart. Amen. Now, what did God do? Well, look what the Bible says in Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. You say, well, that's good, preacher. They was able to take the fig leaves off and they was able to put on these coats. Oh, yeah. But you missed the message. It wasn't about the coats. What did he make the coats out of? A blood sacrifice. A blood sacrifice. There was a fence between them. So God offered a blood sacrifice. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there was a fence between us and God. And God offered a blood sacrifice. That blood sacrifice was Jesus Christ on the cross. See, many people, when they think of God, they see a fence. But many people, when they think of God, they don't see a fence. They see a ladder. They see a ladder. And what I mean by a ladder, they say, well, I've got to keep moving on up. I'm better than so-and-so. I don't drink like he drinks. I'm better than so-and-so down at the church. I'm really a good person. I'm a member of the Pink Lemonade Sipping Society. So I'm just good, good, good. But here's a question I want to ask you. How good do you have to go to heaven? All I'm trying to say, folks, if it's good, Mother Teresa get to go, but I won't make it. If it's on being good, Mother Teresa's going to get to go. Billy Graham's going to get to go, but I'm just not going to get to make it. And many of you I know, you're not going to make it either if it's on being good. I'm just saying, how good is good enough? One man goes to the doctor and he's having severe headaches. And he said, "Doc, I don't drink like other men. I don't smoke like other men. I don't stay out late like other men. I don't overeat like other men, but I've got these severe headaches." The doc said, "I'll tell you what your problem is." He said, "What's that?" He said, "You've got your halo on too tight." It's a great day in my life when I realized Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You don't do anything to merit the gift. It's just a gift. All you do is receive the gift. So see, when we think of God, folks, many people think of God as they see offense. Many people, when they think of God, they see a ladder. But many times when people think of God, they see a trash can. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor, they see a trash can?" They say, "Well, God is not interested in my junk. God's not interested in everything that I've done in my life. God's not interested in my hurts, my habits, and my hang-ups. God's not interested in all the mess. God's not interested in my addiction. God's not interested in my relationships. God's not interested in all the mistakes that I've made. God's not interested in a life that's as mixed up as my life is mixed up." But I'm telling you, God is very interested in you. I'm telling you that God is very interested in you. You say, "But Pastor, you don't understand." Yes, I do understand. I know God loves you no matter what. God loves you no matter what's happened in your life. In Matthew chapter 9, I want you to see something. And Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. And Jesus said unto him, "Follow me," and he followed him. Wait. The most despised occupation in Israel was tax collectors. They were Jews who embezzled money. They worked for the Roman government, and they embezzled money from their very own people, the Jewish people. They were the most despised people in all of Israel. And Jesus says to the most despised person in all of Israel, "Follow me." Now look. "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Wait. Sinners. Sinners were drawn to Jesus. Sinners wanted to be with Jesus. You said, "Pastor Benny, why do you think sinners were drawn to Jesus?" This is what I believe. Because I believe Jesus was into connecting rather than correcting. And see, we're into today to correcting instead of connecting. But Jesus wanted to connect with people. He wanted people right where they're at. Jesus just loved people right where they're at. Many people, the reason why a lot of people don't want to go to church is simply because they've been to church. And if a cat ever sits on a hot stove, it will never sit on a hot stove again, but it won't sit on a cold stove either. It just don't like stoves, amen? But Jesus wasn't into correcting. Jesus was into connecting with people. This morning I was on my way to church and I looked up. I thought, "Where are those lights coming from?" And I thought, "Great, an opportunity to make a new friend." And I got it off the side of the road. And I said, yes, friend. My name's Pastor Benny Tate." He said, "I know exactly who you are." "May need your help, Sheriff Dix." He said, "I know exactly who you are." And I said, "Friend, I've got a lot of things going." I said, "I'm having friend day at my church." And I said, "Since we're talking, Do you have a church? He said, Pastor, I don't. He said, the reason why I'm not, I've had some deep hurt in church. I said, I'm so sorry about that. I'm so sorry about that. See, Jesus was in connected with people. We talked long enough, we became friends. And he said, I just want to tell you, Pastor, you got to stop at stop signs. He said, I just want to tell you, Pastor, you can't be texting and stuff while you're driving. You just can't be doing it. I said, no, I can't. I said, thank you. You're a fine man. And I do want you to come and see me at church. See, here's what I want you to see. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why does he eat with the sinners? And Jesus said, they that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. But look what he said. But you go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Now, when I was a young preacher and he said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, this is the question I ask. Who are the righteous? But I hadn't read Romans 3:10 that says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Ladies and gentlemen, we all need Jesus, and he's interested in our trash cans. See, I think when we think of Jesus, we think of a ladder, we think of a fence, we think of a trash can. But when we think of God, we ought to think of a door, because that's what he said he was. In John 10:9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. See, folks, God is a door. And all we have to do is walk through the door. But you know, folks, I realized something as I was preparing this message. God's a door, but you have a door. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. I love paintings. And one of my favorite paintings is a painting called The Light of the World by William Holman Hunt. It's a beautiful painting. It's Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And I started researching the background on this painting. And you know what was so interesting? As wonderful as it is, there's no doorknob on the outside. There's no doorknob on the outside. The door can only be opened from the inside. You have a door. Jesus is standing at your door. But only you can open the door from the inside. He wants to come in. He's knocking. But let me tell you something. He's not going to kick your door down. He's not going to barge in. He's knocking. But the knob is on the inside. And you've got to decide, are you going to let him in? There was a lady that was dying. She had lived a very sinful life, and somebody asked a pastor, much like I've been asked thousands of times, would you go see this lady? She was cold, she was callous, she'd lived a very sinful life. The pastor said, I went in and I tried to talk to her about God, and she had no interest. But he said, I knew she didn't have long to live. He says, as I was getting ready to leave, I noticed on the nightstand a photo. And I said, I see that photo there. And she said, Pastor, that's the only good thing that's came out of my life. I've lived a sinful life. She, my daughter, is the only good thing that's came out of my life. And he said, well, I want to ask you something. If she hurt you deeply, if she disappointed you, if she let you down, if she messed up greatly in life, would you still love her? She said, I sure would. And he said, I want you to know something. God's got a picture of you on his nightstand. God's got a picture of you on his nightstand. And she said, Pastor, if God is like that, I'd like to know that God. If God is like that, I'd like to know that God. He said, well, you can. It's as easy as ABC. You just acknowledge your sin. You just believe that Christ died for your sin. And you just confess your sin to him. I'd like to know that God. You can.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.